Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. Bill Jackson, Worldview Academy, in studio with us now. And, Bill, we're going to get back into the news right now because I do check the news almost a daily basis, and I know you do as well. But more and more, it seems to me there is an agenda that's being crammed down my throat. It doesn't matter if it's CNN or Fox News. I just feel like I'm being manipulated with almost every story. There doesn't seem to be anything of an objectivity, an interest in the truth in the news as there once was. That's why we do the Worldview in 5 minutes, because we really believe that truth in the news is essential. First thing, you want to be sure you're reporting a truthful newscast as to what happened, but there's always a bias. But is the bias towards God's truth or away from God's truth? If God is the very definition of truth, he defines good and evil, and he defines what are camels and what are gnats when it comes to news reports. And that's our worldview. And we believe that our worldview cast is self-consciously committed to truth only because we're self-consciously committed to God's revelation in the Word of God and God's ethics as given to us by the laws of God in the Old and New Testament. So, you know, we do the Worldview in 5 minutes in an attempt to keep people away from these political agendas that have no real basis in fact or in a biblical agenda or a biblical view of truth or a biblical view of ethics.
Everybody has a bias. There's nobody who's neutral. And the Christian definitely has a bias, and that should be, it should be God's word. And it's the old saw, which bias is the best bias to be biased by? And the answer is by God's word.
That's right, because God is truth.
So we need to filter everything we see and hear through the word of God. And even with that, we will always be prone to error or to a wrong perspective. And that's because we live in the world, and the world has a bias against Scripture. So we're never going to have a totally objective view on events or people or statements that come out. But we've got to be on guard that we are thinking God's thoughts after him.
And whenever there's a mass murder that happens in El Paso or up in Dayton, Ohio, inevitably either Fox News, CNN, any of these news organizations are going to be pressing their agenda. It seems to me an agenda is pushed in which we are either forced to support Trump more so or less so. We are encouraged towards gun control or encouraged against gun control. It seems to me that there is this jockeying that goes on, this politicizing, this using the news to forward a particular agenda. Do you feel somewhat manipulated by the news?
Oh, all the time, and we should be aware of that, because there's always going to be a spin. The days of when we trusted a Walter Cronkite to give us just the facts,
it's gone.
Is long gone. And even then, we were being manipulated.
Sure.
Because Walter Cronkite was extremely biased. And the news media, it's, you know what it's like? It's like a librarian. Every librarian is a censor, because they have a limited, every librarian has a limited budget. And they use that budget to purchase books. Well, they can't purchase every book. So their bias, the bias of the librarian, is going to come out because of a limited budget. And that's much like a newscaster, a news team. The writers, the producers all have a bias.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be aware of that. I recall years and years ago, when Operation Rescue was big, they came through Denver, and in my church, I was listening in Sunday school, and the anticipation was, oh, this is going to be bad. They shouldn't do this, that kind of thing. And so I decided to go down and observe. I didn't participate, but I was there to observe. And then I went home and watched the nightly news, local news, as to how it was portrayed. And the next day, I went back to Sunday school, and I said, "Hey, did you hear about the Operation Rescue?" And they, "Oh yeah, it was terrible what those people did." I said, "Well, I happened to be there, and what you saw in the nightly news was nothing like what was actually going on." And it reminded me that even Christians who are pro-life can be sucked into, you know, things, taking a spin, taking a slant that is not really there.
Bill, it does seem like the agenda pushing is more obvious today than it's ever been. What we try to do with the Worldview in 5 minutes, as you know, is to give more of the big picture, more of a context. What is the truth concerning mass killings? We pointed out, for example, this last week that the rate of mass killings in America is actually up about 17% over the last year, but actually down 26% over the 2017. So, you know, up 17%, down 26% over the year before.
And over, since the 1990s, I think it's gone down.
Yeah. Gives you a little bit of context as well. We also occasionally will point out that there were, you know, 54 murders in Chicago over the same weekend that a mass killer killed another six or seven in another city. We'll also point out from time to time that there were 12,200 murders of children in the mother's womb over the last week,
yeah,
as compared to, you know, the 200 or 300 murders that happened around the country. So we try to give context. We try to say, well, this is happening. We don't want to just strain at gnats and swallow camels here. We want to give a full picture of what's going on in the United States. The FBI also reported that murder is down by about 4.3% year over year. So the overall violent crime in America. So again, we're looking at the bigger picture, not just the mass killings, but okay, you know, in term, you know, we don't want to eliminate some of these other killings in which, you know, innocent people were shot down by somebody. You know, if we say, well, we're all concerned about the 16 that were killed in El Paso, but we're not really concerned about somebody who lost their husband or lost a child in Chicago, that's not good either. We need to back up a little bit and say,
or the hundreds that were butchered in the abortion,
exactly,
houses in El Paso the same weekend. So,
exactly.
And part of the problem, I think, Kevin, is this. You know, just last night I went out at 7 o'clock and I was going to go down to the gym, and the path that I took, the route that I took, was blocked by police. Well, it turns out that there had been a shooting at the gas station that I normally use. And there had been a disagreement, and somebody pulled out a gun and shot somebody. By the time, and I didn't know that, but by the time I got to the gym, there were people talking because social media had blown up, and we are much more aware of what's happening. We don't have to wait for tomorrow's newspaper or the nightly news because of things like social media, Nextdoor, Twitter, all of those things make us so much more aware of what's happening when you have mass shootings, when you have altercations, that what happens is we become fearful and we become paranoid,
right,
and we think the world is falling apart, when right, in reality, as you said, there is an ebb and flow, mm-hmm, and generally murder, violent crime, has gone down over the past several years rather than going up, mm-hmm, regardless of what you see in the news and in social media.
All except for the murder of innocent babies in their mother's womb.
Yes.
And my friends, the Worldview in 5 minutes is a self-consciously Christian worldview news program.
So it has a bias.
It does have a bias, but we believe a bias towards an absolute truth that is revealed to us in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. We're self-consciously, self-consistent to the truth of God's word. So what we do in the Worldview in 5 minutes is give you a context, the big picture based on biblical law, trying to avoid the hypocrisies and the agenda of humanist media sources. We'll be back with more in just a moment as we talk about, well, what is going on with these mass murders? What is the source? And how do we read these newscasts that tie in to these horrible crises? Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Podcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read.
Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Bill Jack also in studio, as we discuss the news and how the news focuses in on certain events, misses the 12,200 babies that were slaughtered in their mother's wombs in just the last week or so. Again, this is what modern Pharisees, this is what the hypocrites do. They strain at gnats and swallow camels. And so the hypocrisy of modern man just continues. And friends, we do the best we can to apply a biblical consistency, a biblical view of ethics, a biblical definitions of what is the camel, what is the gnat when it comes to ethical issues. We do the best we can to bring the Word of God to bear in the worldview in 5 minutes, which is at the beginning of this program as we air it on a daily basis. But, you know, as you wade through the guilt by association, logical fallacies, the equivocation on the word racism, as some of our media sources blame the shootings upon our politicians, it seems to me there's just a bunch of posturing going on. People are looking for a cause. They're looking for somebody to blame. They want to blame the system. They want to blame the president of the United States and his tendency to take strong political positions against immigration and so forth and so on. They're trying to bring a cause-effect relationship to bear on these mass shootings. Now, of course, Bill, this is an exercise in futility. I mean, I read a libertarian website blaming the rise of killings, these mass killings, on militaristic governments, the war hawkishness of the Republicans, you know, killing 400,000 people in wars over the last 20 years, et cetera. And liberals want to blame the mass shootings on accessibility to guns, accessibility to hate websites. These are the ones I've read. Conservatives, I think it's violent video games, the rise of psychotropic drugs, and general emotional and psychological
lack of testosterone.
Whatever.
I mean, whatever it is. You and I have seen it all.
Yeah.
And it's kind of summed up by this Southwest Ohio politician, a Ohio representative, Candace Keller, who in her Facebook post placed the blame. She lives about 30 miles from Dayton. She placed the blame for the mass shootings on, quote, the breakdown of the traditional family, thank you, transgender, homosexual marriage, and drag queen advocates, fatherlessness, a subject no one discusses or believes is relevant, the ignoring of violent video games, the relaxing of laws against criminals, open borders, the acceptance of recreational marijuana, failed school policies, hello parents who defend misbehaving students, disrespect to law enforcement, thank you, Obama, end quote. Now, she's lumped all of those that we've heard into one post, and she's now getting ripped to shreds because even the chair of the Republican Party in Ohio said that her comments are shocking and utterly unjustifiable and that the representative should resign. Now, wait a minute.
I'm not sure that needs to happen because that's what everybody else is doing in this rabble.
Yeah.
This is posturing. She's posturing as well as everybody else in this mix.
And I don't know if she's posturing as much as venting.
Maybe if she's venting.
She's frustrated with what's happening in the culture and that she's listing not causes, but she's listing symptoms of the ultimate cause of why this has happened.
Well, she's looking for, symptoms, patterns, causes, et cetera, et cetera. So far, I haven't heard that anybody's saying that it's the heart. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately
wicked.
That's
exactly what we need. Yeah, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart, as the saying goes.
And these guys are angry and they're hateful. And yes, and Jesus said, this is what happens when people act upon the anger and the hate in their hearts. This is where murder comes from. It comes out of the heart. The heart of man is the source of all of these things. And I think also if God is removing his common grace, then we're seeing the same thing happening. In other words, only God can protect a society from 100 million wicked hearts and 200 million feet that are running swiftly to shed as much blood as possible, which is what we read in Romans 3. So there's, think about 200 million feet running to shed blood as quickly as possible. If God removed his restraints for just a moment from the wicked hearts of men, this place would be total chaos. So I think if we said, now, maybe we should fear God. Maybe we should pray to God. Maybe God is removing his common grace from a society. And what we're saying there is that ultimately God is sovereign over all of these crises. God is sovereign over everything that happens. How in the world can you possibly prevent 100 million wicked hearts, or a billion wicked hearts, or 7 billion wicked hearts from around the world from following through on the hatred, the envy, the malice that lurks there within the human heart? I mean, am I being too negative about the human condition? I don't believe so. The Bible certainly is negative concerning the human heart. And ultimately, it is God that protects us and preserves society from destroying itself. It's the common grace and the mercy of God that prevents these horrible things from happening. And I think to some extent, God has removed his common grace from a society that is in utter rebellion against him.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. I mean, once we turn away from God's law, then he says, okay, you're pulling against the reins. I'll let you have your head, and you can run toward destruction. And that should give us pause. I don't disagree with this representative from Ohio. I can sympathize. I can echo some of the same complaints and say, look, here's what you get when you run away from God's law, when you want to run away from God's grace. He will give you your head and let you run toward destruction.
Well, Jesus spoke of this in Luke chapter 13. It does appear that people tend to want to talk about these things. This is water cooler topic. This is, of course, what the news covers. The news doesn't cover every abortion that occurred in the city over the last week. The news does not speak of every murder that happened in Chicago over the last week, and that doesn't go over the 53 murders that occurred in Chicago.
Because they're commonplace. Because this is uncommon, and that's what sells news, is what is unusual, what is rare, what is the uncommon. And so in the area of abortion, it's what's also invisible.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see that. We don't see that carnage. And so, you know, what's commonplace in Chicago is 7 murders a week.
Well, this is exactly what people were talking about in Galilee in Luke chapter 13. There were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. In other words, there'd been something of a mass killing going on in Galilee. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." So the takeaway is not so much that we need to be sitting around talking about the sins of others or the terrible things that happen to others, but rather we should be concerned with ourselves. We should be concerned to repent ourselves. The focus comes back to ourselves. There comes a judgment far more violent than these earthly judgments. Our Lord also told us, "Fear rather him who can destroy both body and soul in hell." So repentance, you know, he says, yeah, you know, there's this problem of murder. You've heard that it'd been said of old time, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." In other words, Jesus brings all of these things back to us and our anger issue and the hatred that tends to lurk in our own hearts. So it's not so much to be talking about others. It's to be concerned with ourselves and to repent and to cry out for God's mercy and the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ for our sins, for these things. People are always looking for solutions to these problems. How do we solve problems like murder and crime? Now, I will say that civil magistrate is a deterrent. So it's appropriate for us from time to time to say, okay, we have a problem in this town. There's been a murder in the town. So what do you do? Well, we need to do something. What do we do? Well, the Word of God gives us what we should do. Romans 13 says,
civil magistrate is there and minister of God to punish that which is evil with a sword.
To administer justice.
In Genesis 9:6, if a man sheds man's blood, by man should his blood be shed. But the American government's refusing to execute murderers, and that's been going on for at least 20 years, really further back than that.
Yeah,
I give the entire history of capital punishment in America for murder all the way back into the 1840s, 1850s, when the do-gooders, the American do-gooders that were basically rebelling God's law and turning away from God's law, they were increasingly bringing sort of a softy-wafty approach to crime into the United States, and that held sway for a long time. They completely did away with capital punishment by, I believe it was the 1920s and or 1930s, and then brought it back briefly in the 1970s. But since about 1995, states are increasingly abandoning the use of capital punishment one more time. And I wouldn't be surprised that this is going to increase these kinds of murders. Certainly, a civil magistrate is a deterrent. And so one thing that we can do is to apply capital punishment to this. The other thing that I think we need to consider also is the worldview taught in schools. Increasingly, Darwin and Nietzsche seem to be playing strongly in the minds of those who kill. I think of Columbine. I think of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, who were wearing T-shirts with natural selection blazoned on them. And they referred a number of times to the importance of natural selection, quote unquote, taking its course. Do you remember this?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's again, what you teach in the classroom pours out into society, and the schools are to blame for abandonment of God's truth and God's grace being proclaimed in the classroom and being replaced with a secular worldview.
And you tell kids that they are cosmic dust, evolved out of cosmic slime with no ultimate purpose in life.
Then why not live fast, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse?
And maybe even kill people in the process. Let natural selection take its course. This is the worldview that young people have inculcated so much more so in the last 30 to 40 years than they had in the 1920s and 1930s, friends. Things have changed dramatically. In fact, just last weekend at the Gilroy Garlic Festival, you remember, another mass killer came through. I think he was 19 or 20 years of age, and three people killed, 15 wounded. You heard the story, but the suspected killer, Santino William Legan, was shot down by police not long into the rampage. Heavy.com noted that the 19-year-old suspect was influenced by a book called Might is Right by Ragnar Redbeard. It was the ideas of Friedrich Nietzsche mainstreamed, and the doctrine of social Darwinism mainstreamed. This guy wrote this book, I believe, in the 1920s, if I'm not mistaken. It's called Might is Right, influenced the killer at the Gilroy Garlic Festival. Nietzsche is still adored by the university, by psychologists, the Freudians, the Skinnerites. He was a genius and never to be condemned by the elite. But, friends, he was sheer demonic evil. Nietzsche claimed to be speaking through a demonic spirit himself, similar to Karl Marx. He went mad the last 7 years of his life, and his sister had to take care of him. But just shortly before going stark raving insane, Nietzsche wrote a book in which he claimed to be the Antichrist. Ideologically, that's exactly what he was. He brought out the master morality idea, influenced Adolf Hitler and much of the 20th century, as you know. And I think a fair amount of the 20th century way of thinking concerning human life was influenced by Friedrich Nietzsche. I would put him at the very, very root of the mass slaughters that occurred in the 20th century. I would say he's right there at the beginning of the influence of Margaret Sanger and others that eventually produced the destruction of another billion or 2 billion of human lives in the womb. This is Friedrich Nietzsche, my friends. He basically brought out the concept of master morality, taking Darwin's survival of the fittest doctrine to its logical conclusion. Get a little more red in tooth and claw, and the strongest human should survive. Eliminate the weak. That was basically his worldview. It's also the psychology that the modern nations bought into. From the Nietzschean point of view, it doesn't seem worthwhile to care for the weak, to take care of parents in their old age when the government can euthanize them cheaply. And 95% of children conceived with Down syndrome in England And some 85 to 90% of children conceived with Down syndrome in America are aborted. And see, again, this ties into that Nietzschean concept, but Jesus was concerned with the weak. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he says in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger, take you in, or naked and clothe you? And the king will answer and say to me, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So the Lord Jesus Christ, concerned with the weak, while the rich conservative capitalists may not tithe more than 2% and give 15-20% to the poor, while liberals are busy killing babies, euthanizing the trisomy 18 babies, and spending other people's money helping the poor, it's Jesus's people who are giving 20, 30, 50, 75% of their own income to caring for the downtrodden, the trisomy 18 babies, and the bedridden sick. So friends, that's the difference between Jesus and Nietzsche. It's a huge difference. It's a monumental difference. And these two worldviews, my friends, are in conflict one with another. In El Paso, in the abortion clinics around America, and all over the Western world. So I leave you with Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, as a book that I wrote to better introduce the ideas of Nietzsche and contrast it with the ideas of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the ideas that have been so destructive to our entire world are ideas that we as Christians must repudiate and replace with a basically biblical idea, with a basically biblical outlook. If your children are attending public college and receiving the ideas of Friedrich Nietzsche, Karl Marx, Charles Darwin, et cetera, these are the men who are destroying our world. And indeed, they take a counter perspective to the worldview of the Word of God and the Lord Jesus. So get a copy of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West on our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.